Oh, the second hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. About a week or so ago, our evening All Things Considered host, Tom Cocaine, did an interview with Kev Moe and produced a piece for All Things Considered, our local portion of All Things Considered. And he's very graciously and very kindly given to me a longer version, complete with music. It's a nice little production piece on Kev Moe, and I really appreciate Tom Cocaine letting me air this on this show. And this is just a wonderful piece of production is what it is. Plus, it's an interview with a pretty cool dude. So here we go. About 20 minutes worth of Tom Cocaine interviewing Kev Moe and doing some wonderful, wonderful script. It's great. This is really good stuff.
Kev Moe, which is an abbreviation of his given name, Kevin Moore, has just released his 12th album titled Blues Americana, and it also marks 20 years since his debut as Kev Moe. He is a three-time Grammy winner and is not easy to put into a specific genre, but he's bluesy, also folksy, and has a smooth, soulful voice. Overall, he is an accomplished guitarist and songwriter. I spoke with Kev Moe by phone. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Compton, California, between the ages of 7 and 17.
How do you think, or does it even matter where you grew up to what the music you play today?
Well, it matters in the sense of like how I got to where I am now and the musical journey and the circumstances that were there that got me into the music mindset,
which is
playing music in school, playing music in a cover band, playing a calypso steel band, and all the things that were there that got me off to the where I am now. Those are my beginnings. So if you look at where I am now in terms of the way I look at roots music and how my music sounds, had I done this maybe 20 or 40 years earlier, as way out to the degree I'm doing it now, it would have sounded completely different. But because I came out late and got a chance to mature as a person and musically, you know, that's how my music, and I was mature enough to understand and take on the blues and to become Kev Moe, I guess.
You've got a very varied background where you did a bit of pop music and some soul, even maybe a bit of funk in there. And then suddenly here come the blues. So what is it about the blues that just kind of helped you expand your musical creativity?
Well, blues was a place where I could operate on a simple platform, you know, 4, 5, 6 chords, you know? And I could express myself without a lot of rehearsal, and there seemed to be a lot of room in the blues for growth in terms of that there wasn't in pop music, or pop that was available to me. Understand? Mm-hmm. So the blues was something that with my experience and songwriting, and when I saw it, I saw a big opportunity to expand there, and that's a place where I could grow, because I've been listening to blues and country and R&B and funk and all this stuff, and I don't know, it just felt good, and I wasn't necessarily looking at the blues market. All I wanted to do was be a guy that could just go and play a festival and play a guitar and, you know, make more than $50.
Yeah, you say that's isn't that really what we all want? It's that kind of, you know.
Really, I just wanted to be able to. So I said, if I could figure out this blues thing, because I knew there were some guys out there doing it, mm-hmm. who were just playing with a guitar and doing gigs and these festivals, and I was like, that's cool. Maybe I could do that. You know, maybe not to the degree that, you know, John Hammond was doing it at the time. You know, but I thought that, you know, I could maybe pull that off and I could pay my rent. But I started writing songs too, and lo and behold, you know, I got signed by Sony, and I thank Sony for being able to really put me in the public's eye. They had the wherewithal and the machinery to expose me to a large audience, and that really put me where I am today.
You've been around a while. So you've been around like when it was like, okay, here's the record label, here's the, we're going to put out this LP. Isn't it kind of interesting how the music industry has just changed, and now you just put the whole album on the internet?
Yeah, it is different. And like, you know, Quincy Jones, I heard him talking in an interview one time. He says music is the only, one of the only mediums that you can experience, you can consume before you buy it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can hear the whole thing before you buy it. You can hear it and then decide if you want it. It's like a painting. A painting is like, you know, you see a painting and you enjoy it. But music, you can, you know, it's one of those things. You don't have to own it to enjoy it. But yeah, I have all kudos to the fans, you know, who support music and buy music and then choose to play it in their home. So if you make it in someone's record or CD collection, or on their computer, that's like being born. That's like getting how you, when your music makes it on someone's iPod or someone's phone. You know, it's a big deal in their record collection. And you happen to become one of the persons that actually gets played on heavy rotation in the house. And that's where I look for my heavy rotation. I don't look for heavy rotation on the radio. If I can get the music in the house and I can make something, the music that people will play at home, then I feel like I've done something. That's how I've always thought of music. You know, the way I looked at it when I made the first Kev Moe record, okay, the odds of me getting on heavy rotation on radio are next to almost guaranteed I won't. You know, I did manage to get some airplay and pretty good on AAA at the time. But if I can get someone to hear it at a listening station, then I can get some. If I make the record, whereas it's house friendly, you know, home for like a James Taylor record. A James Taylor record is very house friendly, you know. A Jackson Brown record is really home for you. Put it on and you just kind of walk around and do stuff, you know. Whereas maybe a Metallica record, you know, is more in your face.
Almost, you know, demand your attention instead of...
It demands your attention. You have to, you know, but I didn't go that way. I'm not going to go the way where I have to. I'm not going to wow you. I'm not going to try to wow you with how guitar licks and wow you with how, you know, long I can hold a note, how many runs I can do singing. I'm going to just make something that's going to just like put a pillow you put on your couch.
You know? Kev Moe, the couch pillow of music.
Yeah, that pillow just... there forever. You sit on that pillow and you just love that pillow. That's what I want to be.
I admire that greatly.
It's a niche market. You know what I mean? It's a niche market. It's not, you know, a lot of people want the big hits on the radio. And believe me, I wouldn't turn down a big hit. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. I'm very ambitious. You know? But, you know, I love playing music. So my thing about playing music is to make sure that I get to play. And I think the biggest deal is being able to play and perform in front of people, you know, on a regular basis. That's the gift. The number doesn't matter.
I've read many articles about you, and something that comes up a lot is you talk about honesty and honesty in music. Is that kind of where this all comes from?
Well, yeah. Truth and honesty cut through, I feel, I believe. Like yesterday, my wife said, she comes in and she says, well, we have to do something on Facebook today because we're doing I need you to do a post today. And, you know, and so she came in and I've just done finishing my laundry, folding my laundry. So I said, well, just do it right here. I got my laundry basket next to me, you know. So I did that. And we got a lot of comments about it. There was a lot of people, the laundry basket was very good for Facebook or, you know, that thing. But the thing is that, you know, I folded those clothes. I washed them in the machine. And I folded those clothes. You know, my wife didn't fold them and put them next to me, you know. Mm-hmm. And had she put them next to me, I feel like people would have known that they were just placed there. So psychically. But I think the fact that I folded them and put them next to me, and the fact that I folded them, people knew that I folded them. You know, just like they would know if I didn't. So people know when you're honest with your music, they know.
Do you find it difficult sometimes to be honest in the music?
No, oh no, it's the easiest thing in the world. Easy. You just go and just tell your stories. Talk about what moves you. Talk about what you're going through. Talk about life, you know, things that you see. Just be real.
And so is that also maybe what attracts you about blues? It seems to be a more honest.
Yes, absolutely. Blues is about real stuff. You know? So I like that. When I heard the blues, that's where it hit me. I'm like, well, this is real stuff. You know, pop stuff that I've heard on the radio, you know, I'm not sure if it's all real stuff. I mean, maybe, I don't know. But I think I have a theory about it that even things that may sound not real to people, if you go and dig in and the artist, if it makes a hit, if it makes a splash, and it's effective and people keep listening to it all for years. If you go back to the artist and ask them where that came from, what I've always heard is there's something real and inspirational in that piece of work, even if it sounds silly to the public.
I'm suddenly thinking of the pop song Seattle artist Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and that thrift shop song. There is something honest about that song that just took off. So there's something there with that pop song that was honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's honest. It's real, has to come from a real place. I mean, Amy Winehouse, brutally honest with rehab.
Oh.
You know, the late Amy Winehouse. So much. I never got to meet her or know her, but, you know, rehab. They try to get me to maybe go to rehab. I said, no. You know, talk about brutally honest, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So much it almost hurts, doesn't it?
It hurts bad, really bad. And it's almost like that was the message. That was her message right then. But, you know, the message was, you know, maybe it was somebody should have grabbed her kicking and screaming, you know?
Yeah.
But that's an extreme example of honesty, really getting right, you know?
And talking about these songs and honesty and like that Amy Winehouse song, there's a song on your new album, Blues Americana, that's called The Worst Is Yet to Come. I like that song a lot. It basically talks about how your day starts off bad, you get up on the wrong side of bed, your car dies, your woman leaves you.
Woke up in the morning, wrong side of the bed. In the hammer that night, you know, I'm feeling it.
So is there something about bad things happening that makes such great stories and songs?
Yeah. Well, it's a day. It's like several things. It's like, you know, one thing after the other. It's like, you know, everybody has this one thing after the other. Because that's a mindset that happens. Like, you know, you get up and you start off and something happens in the day and you start focusing on that negative thing. And then it keeps going. It keeps going. Going. But in the bridge, it says, but the sun keeps on shining. It's like, it should. I guess when I take a look around me, I guess I'm doing pretty good. That's my positive thing.
And then in contrast on your album, too, there's a song called Do It Right. The beginning of that, it's just so uplifting. And it's got this nice starting lick. And it's a great contrast to the worst is yet to come.
Kind of like it's a trick. You know, you write a song and you have a, you know, a negative verse, you know what I mean? And then the positive comes in or something, you know, it jumps in. It's kind of like a songwriting trick, but it's kind of with song in the sequence of the record. It's like putting the songs together. It's kind of a puzzle as to how they're going to go. And that's how some songs don't make records. Not that they're not great songs, but sometimes they just don't fit. You know?
Yeah, you're creating this tapestry of music, and
yeah.
This one doesn't work.
If you can't figure, you may love it. I mean, I got a beautiful song that I didn't put on the record, and it just didn't fit. And it's probably a big hit, you know?
Yeah.
But it just did not fit, you know? So the Do It Right is like the verse to the record. It's like it comes in with this kind of like negative thing, and then it's Do It Right. And the rest of the record is pretty positive, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
You know, so. But I like starting with the worst is yet to come. I was worried about that. The critics would eat that up if they didn't like the record. They go, and he was right.
Oh.
I was going, this will let me know if they like it or not. I had a lot of fun putting this record together. It took about 3 months to put together. And it was just a lot of fun coming in every day and figuring out. Which is, and I built it piece by piece. You know, I didn't do any rhythm section. You know, it was all built, you know, one track at a time.
Oh, really? So did you do most of the music playing and music yourself, or did you have other people help you with them?
I had a drummer come in. I did a vocal. I would do vocals. And I had the drummer come in and play my vocal, or I'd sit down and play a guitar with the drummer. You know,
mm-hmm.
Drummer and drums and guitar. And then I start putting the bass on and things like that. Yeah. But I want to make sure that the drums and the bottom of the guitar were firing exactly like they were together. You know, mm-hmm. As opposed to. Because if it was supposed to be acoustic record, so I started with the vocal and the guitar thing. Like, let's put the guitar on, and then I kept putting stuff on. It became the record you hear.
Mm-hmm. So with this, making this album and doing it piece by piece, how do you select what instrumentation to put into those songs? Like here, I would like a little harmonica or...
I'll start and get the words down, then I'll put a guitar down. And as it goes by, when it starts to get a lull in it, when things start lulling, if I know the song is working right and the guitar is working right, when I feel like it, it just things to keep it, to keep the story interesting and not step on the story. So everything I pick is what's laying around the studio, one thing. If I don't have it laying around the studio, I'll call someone to play it. But it's what's laying around the studio, which guitars fit, which ones have the right tone, which amp, which acoustic is feeling right with that vocal, and it's a very meticulous kind of process. It's not just a acoustic guitar. It's like sometimes it's a different one because that one has a different character that just that song likes. It's really weird, you know. I don't quite understand why one guitar wouldn't work for everything, but sometimes it does. But a record is, when you're using guitars, and guitars are very monotonous in the world. I think that's why guys own a lot of guitars, because they all have a personality. It's mostly for the recording process. You want to go to the gig, you want to show up with one or two guitars at the most. But on the record, you know, those colors become very important to telling the story.
You're doing a lot of acoustic sets on this tour. What can people expect when they go to see you live?
Well, it's going to be now through June. It's going to be a trio. Acoustic, slightly electric moments in there. Trio. And then after that, when I go to Europe, I'm taking a four-piece band, and for the rest of the year, I'm going to be out with a four-piece band.
The title of your new album is Blues Americana. How did you come up with that title, or does that have a certain meaning?
Yeah, blues Americana. I mean, the Americana genre is, I mean, like, we're trying to figure out what that is. I mean, I've been involved with them. They've invited their affairs and things. I've got the sense of play in that genre. So it feels to me like a roots movement, you know, and that's attached more to country, you know, alternative country. So I think the blues is country music, and it's all country music, and it's all blues. You know, the blues and the country are intimately related, you know. So as a matter of fact, they're practically the same thing, I believe, you know. So I think Blues Americana, I thought that was a great place to connect American music and maybe create another window for music to be seen as far as genres go. Blues Americana, it's not just the title of my record, it's like it's a genre I kind of made up for myself.
Yeah, someplace you found your own niche. You created your own niche, if you want to say.
Yeah, and blues Americana, because I think there's I noticed that, like, you know, as music goes along, goes ahead, and like blues music, you know, I think there should be more diversity in the Americana genre, you know, and the country genre too as well, and it's not there. And I think it's wanted, you know. I don't think they're going to keep anybody out, but I think it's wanted in those areas, and I just want to just volunteer my services, so to speak, in Americana, and invite other people in the blues to stretch out and to listen to all those things and learn and maybe be more open as well.
Great. Well, congratulations on the album, and it's out now. Yeah, thanks again for the conversation.
I like it. I like what we talked about.
Kent Moe's album is titled Blues Americana. He is on tour, and you can see him live at Pullman at Beasley Coliseum on May 3rd and in Grants Pass, Oregon at the Rogue Theater on May 5th. I'm Tom Cocaine.
Thanks to Tom Cocaine and to Ariana Blackman and to Gail Siegel and to Kevin Rinker and all the folks who helped on this interview. And especially, again, thanks to Tom for allowing me to air this on this show. It's wonderful. Boy, Tom just has a way of getting people to talk about stuff, doesn't he? Blues Americana. Blues Americana is the name of the album. Kev Moe.
Change, but that to me would be really strange. And I wish that I could stop giving a damn. And I wish that I could find a way, a reason to make me stay. I've been there for you. I don't know what else to do. I guess it's so long. Goodbye. The truth is making me cry. This feels so wrong. Goodbye. So long. So long. Goodbye. The truth is making me cry. This feels so wrong. Goodbye. So long. Someday I'll know why things are the way that they are. I keep living the same sad story. Tired of Buffalo, tired of freezing and shoveling snow, so we packed it up, moved out to the coast to find us a house in California, something at the beach or Hollywood, three or four bedrooms sound real good, don't have to have a pool or a veranda, just a simple little house in California. Bank said, son, what do you do? I said, I play guitar down at the Rendezvous. He said, boy, you need to be a big-time actor or a corporate lawyer if you wanna buy a house in California. 'Cause it don't snow and it don't rain. Every day it looks the same. But before you pack your things, let me warn you. It's the land of milk and honey, but you better have good money if you're looking house in California. Well, I got three jobs, my wife's got two. Kids flipping burgers at the local drive-thru. We all doing everything we can. We saving for a house in California. Then one day, things start shaking, the sky went dark and the earth was quaking. Then overnight, it became alarming. How the price dropped on a house in California. Well, it needs a roof and it needs a plumber. Yeah, yeah, it's a real fixer-upper. Friends back east said somebody should have warned you. But I finally got my house in California. And it don't snow and it don't rain. Every day it looks the same. And before you pack your things, let me warn you. It's the land of milk and honey, but you better have good money if you're looking for a house in California. If you're looking for a house in California. Well, I'm fine, you got my house in California.
So he watched the Beverly Hillbillies too, Kev Moe, House in California, one of his earlier albums. Kev Moe will be in concert at the Beasley Performing Arts Coliseum, and that's May the 3rd, get your tickets at Tickets West. And I'm 1-800-325-SEAT, and he will be in Grants Pass on May the 5th. Didn't know about that one. All righty, we're going to move kind of, well, we'll do one more Keb Mo, I think, right after the break. We have to take a break. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Maher. We're coming right back for lots more music. You just hang on, because we are coming back. Hang on now.
Bound to make amends. if I had me a woman. Someone with a great big house and a great big move right in. I'd save my friends, living off of my friends, 'cause they all love me and they're foolish enough to give a sucker a break. Does anybody know? Just a simple-minded girl who's so naive she would take me in. Living off of my friends, living off of my friends, but someday I'm bound to make a mess. If I had me a woman, someone with a great big house and a great big move right in, I'd save my friends. Could move home again. Mama would scream. She'd call me a bum. I'd have to get a job, a real job, get a haircut now and then. And then I couldn't live off of my friends. Living off of my friends. Living off of my friends. But someday I'm bound to make them, bound to make amends. If I had me a woman, somewhere with a great big house and a great big move right in, yeah. Save my friends. I'd move right in and save my friends.
She loved my money, yes, she loved my car. Mill closed down and they locked the door. I said goodbye, Champagne Patty. You know the nights are long when you sleep alone. I guess it's nothing new, but it's getting old. I'm walking with my thumb out down the road, and I dream champagne. I'm bound to town, yeah, I got some work. Yeah, but I washed my clothes and I shrank my check. Still can't sleep 'cause my back is sore, and I dream Champagne Patty. You know work is hard when you work alone. I guess it's nothing new, but it's getting old. I'm leaning on my shovel and I'm staring at the road, and I dream Champagne Patty. Sleep alone. I guess it could be different, but it's
just ain't the same. I'm saving all my money, gonna take a train. And I dream champagne patty. I'm saving all my money, gonna take a train. And I dream champagne. Yes, I dream champagne. Oh, I dream champagne.
Across the sky. No, I send you. No love letters, but you'll just shake your head at the fruit that I want you. That's honest truth. Thank you.
Oh, that's Katya Chorover from her album Big, Big Love. I believe that's her latest album. And pretty good stuff. We also heard some material from the 2009 Folklife Festival. Americana, Americana, as Kev Moe was talking about. Americana. And we heard Kev Moe starting out that set, too, as well. So there you go. Hang on one second. Had to clear my throat. Yes, I did. We still have an hour's worth of music left to go, and who knows where we're going to go with it. We got some Pogues in the stack here. We got some Judy Collins, as well as the Pogues. How's that going to work? And some other interesting stuff. So you're going to have to hang out and wait for it, because we have to take a little bit of a break in just a second. And we will have a calendar of events. A lot of good stuff going on this weekend. And hopefully it'll warm up for it. And it's been kind of cold and chilly for the later into April, but it is April showers and we need the rain to keep things rocking and rolling, just to get the water back up the way it ought to be. So that's all good. Alrighty. Okay, if you want to email me at D as in Daniel, M-A-H-E-R at WSU.edu. That's D as in Daniel, M-A-H-E-R at WSU.edu. You can call me at 509-332-5047. Alrighty. Kevin Rinker is our engineer, and he deserves mention. He's leaving in July, so we need to mention him as much as we possibly can, just to make that all work, because he deserves mention. Alrighty. Okay, so we're heading on out of here at the end of this second hour. We're coming back in just a couple of minutes. You hold your horses, because we are coming back, okay? Good stuff coming up. Hang on, hang on, hang on.
Cheers.